Ruth chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the entire chapter, but not necessarily covering every detail of the chapter. Ruth chapter 2. Let's go ahead and read the chapter. It's somewhat lengthy, but I think it'll be good for us to get the context of it. Ruth chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Now let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn, or actually ears of grain, after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered, The Lord bless thee. And then said Boaz unto the servants that was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And the servants that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray thee, let me glean the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning until now. And she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It has fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thee, recompense thy work, and thy full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And when she said, Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip a morsel in vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers and reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded the young men, saying, Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until the even, and beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had gleaned what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave to her, and she had reserved after she had was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today, and where wroughtest thou? And blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and she said, The man's name with whom I wrought today was Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. As we look at this passage tonight, I want us to consider the character qualities of both Boaz and Ruth. You know, character is that inner determination to do right. And as I tried to ponder that thing, how can you define character? You know, we talk about this person's got character, that person doesn't have character, they lack character, there's a person with really quality character. What are we talking about? We're talking about that inner determination to do what is right. That inner determination to do what is right. Character is being, doing, and pursuing what is right simply because it is the wise thing to do. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, once spoke these wise words. He says, a good character is the best tombstone. Those who loved you and were helped by you will remember you. Carve your name on the hearts, not marble. And, you know, that is really good advice. To live in a way that people remember us for what we are and what God wants us to be, rather than trying to have something written on our tombstone that would sound nice. You know, this evening I want us to examine then the character of these main characters, their character qualities, and the hopes that it'll stir us to develop those kind of qualities. There's so many qualities, and we're just touching on a tiny few of them. There's a lot of qualities that we can develop in our character, and that's what God wants of us. But let's examine Boaz to begin with, and we see here that as you look at his life, he's first mentioned in verse number 1, and we see that he is a man that feared God. He was a God-fearing man. And during, you know, we remember that the story of Ruth was written during the Judges. And during the Judges was a time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a lot of evil and a lot of ungodliness. But Boaz here seems to be a man who had been faithful to God during all that time. He was a man who didn't stray. We find no indication that Boaz spiritually was lacking like so many in his day. He seems to be a man of integrity, a man who loved God, and he was faithful to the Lord. Now, Boaz had trusted the Lord during the famine, instead of returning, you know, trying to escape. Elimelech, remember, he panicked and said, we better get out of here. And they sold up everything and they left and they went to Moab. But Boaz didn't. He stayed there. He trusted God and was faithful to God. He spoke openly of the Lord in his everyday conversations. Notice verse number 4 there is when he greets his reapers in the field. He says, the Lord bless thee. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. Now, you think about it in a pagan land. Well, let's just take Australia, for example. You know, you go to work tomorrow and around unsaved people, they're not going to greet you and say, oh, Lord bless you this morning. They're not going to say that. I guarantee it. Not as they don't know the Lord. And so the very fact that he made those kind of comments indicates that the Lord was on his mind. The Lord was on his heart. He was walking with the Lord. And it was something that it wasn't just something that he spoke off the top of his lips. It was something that came from his heart. And he was unashamed to talk about the Lord even before this foreigner Ruth that was in his field. We see down in verse number 12 that he speaks of the Lord there, and he says that the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And so he's speaking to a foreigner, someone he's never spoken to before, someone who is brand new to him, and yet he speaks to them about the Lord and uses the Lord in his conversation. And then he blessed Ruth in verse number 10. He blesses Ruth in the name of the Lord and gives her his blessing. And then also we find, sorry, that's chapter 3 and verse number 10. Chapter 3 and verse number 10, and it says, and he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter. All right, so he's blessing Ruth in the name of the Lord. And then also in chapter 3 and verse 13, he seals his promise with the name of the Lord. There at the end of the verse, It says, as the Lord liveth, lie down until morning. All right, so he's using the Lord's name in his conversation throughout it. So we can see with all of these different examples, it certainly appears that Boaz was a man who feared God. He could have easily left those words out of his conversation. He could have easily gone about his days without mentioning the Lord. You know, God wants our character to be such that we will trust him during the difficult times and the trials of life, and he wants us to speak freely of him. We talked considerably about that this morning, of just speaking openly about the Lord and with the Lord and using the Lord's name in our conversations as we are mingling among people of our day. And that's exactly what we see here taking place in Boaz's life. But then also, we find here in verse number 1, it says that Naomi had a kinsman, her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. He was a mighty man of wealth. And as I dug into that and I looked at that a little more closely, it's interesting you look up those words. It's amazing what you can find out. The word mighty there is not too much different than we would suspect. It refers to something, one of great strength or great authority or power, one who is brave, or even refers sometimes to powerful warriors. So he was a powerful man. But it says he was a powerful man of wealth. Now the word wealth there, when I looked it up, I was very surprised. It actually refers to the strength, might, efficiency, and sometimes wealth. Theological word study of the Old Testament defines it as might, strength, power, able, valiant, virtuous, valor. And refers to an army, our host, or forces. It refers to riches, substance, wealth, and many other things. So, certainly the way that our King James is translated is not wrong. It very likely could have and maybe did reply to his wealth. Because you look at his situation here, he had obviously a big farm, he had reapers, he came to see them, he was talking to the reapers, and there were people that were waiting on them and drawing the water. There was all kinds of people working for him. So he was obviously a man that had some means. And so he very likely was a man of wealth. But it also can refer to his wealth of character. He was a man with mighty noble character. And we see this evidence throughout the book as we look at the things that he does and says, and we can see the example of his character. We've already noted that he was a godly man, a man with godly character, but also he treated his reapers with respect. You know, that is a noble characteristic quality. Verse number 4, how he greets them in the name of the Lord, and they greet him in the name of the Lord. And he's dealing with them with respect. You know, the way that we treat those under us says much about our character. You know, that includes your kids. You know, the way you treat people that are under you, whether it's a younger brother or sister or maybe somebody at school or somebody you know or a neighbor or somebody else, the way we treat people that are under us has a lot to do with our character. And if we act like we are better than others or more important than others, you know, there's a crack in our character. And we need to work on that. But here Boaz then was a man who treated others with respect. But he also showed grace and kindness toward Ruth when she was gleaning in his field. We see down in verses 8 and 9. There in 8, verse 8 again. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not and glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. And let thine eyes beyond the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. All right, now you think about that. What is he doing here? He's showing grace and kindness to her. He could have urged her to go to some other field. He could have said, hang on now, you're a foreigner. You know, there's hardly enough space in my field for the poor people of Israel. You know, you just go and find your own field. You know, go somewhere else. You're just a foreigner. But he didn't do that. He treated her with kindness and grace. And he actually said there that he had already told his young men, you leave that woman alone now. Don't you touch her. And he put his protection over them and to help Ruth in that way, to give her safety and protection from any of the young men that might try to harm her in any way. And he offered her water to drink. You know, he didn't have to do that. He could have, you know, that was just a sideline. She could have brought her own bottle of water, and if it ran out, then too bad. Go to the well and get some more. But he says, you can go ahead and help yourself to the water that the young men have drawn. And all of these were acts of kindness. And we are to also be kind to foreigners and new people. You know, we live in a culture with multiple nationalities around us, and there's times when we, you know, if we're not careful, we can be pulled into maybe just staying away from certain people because they're different or they're new or I don't know them, and we just try to avoid them or maybe even don't even treat them as nice as we should. And we need to be careful about that because that's part of our character, how we treat other people. And we need to show them kindness and grace as Boaz did. We find also that Boaz, he commended Ruth's commitment. Remember, he said here in verses 11 and 12 that he had heard fully about all the stuff that she had done for her mother-in-law after her husband and father-in-law had died, and how she had left her nativity and she came there, and then he talks about how in verse 12 how that she had come under the wings of the Lord God of Israel to trust. What a statement. You know, she'd come to join the God of the Jews, and he commends her for that. And so that is a type of encouragement. And you know, that is one of the things that, you know, we need to work at. I need to work at is being an encourager. I find it's a whole lot easier to be a complainer than it is to be an encourager. It's heaps easier. But we need to work at being encouragers. And Boaz was certainly encouraging this young woman and encouraging her and helping her and being a blessing to her. Then he was also very hospitable to her in verse number 14. He said there that at mealtime, you know, you come and sit down and eat bread and dip your morsel in the vinegar here with the other workers. You're welcome to do that. And he served her some of the parched corn. Now remember, the word corn here in our Bible is an old English word. You meet a person from England and ask them what corn is, and they say, oh, you know, all different kinds of grains. You know, wheat and barley and oats and all that. That's corn. You know, you ask somebody like me, and maybe you feel the same way as you. You ask me what corn is, and I say, well, you know, that stuff that's about, you know, foot long, and it's got yellow, and you chew it off the cob. You know, that's my thinking of corn, and perhaps that's your thought of corn, and that's certainly not the Bible thought of corn. That wasn't what the corn was. The corn was a word for grain. So anytime you see the word corn in the Bible, you can put the word grain in there, and you'll get a better idea of what it really was. But it was an English word, and they still use it in that way today, so certainly not a wrong translation. It's just a wrong culture. It gives us a wrong opinion of what those words mean. But so he passes the parched grain to her. What that parched grain was is they would take the grains of wheat or barley, and before they were quite ripe, they're almost ripe, they're full, but they hadn't turned their golden color yet. And they would take that and they would lay it in the ashes of the fire or in a pan and roast it. And that was parched grain. And they would take that and rub it in their hands and eat it. And it was still soft and tender because it was not quite hard yet. And yet when they would roast it like that, that was their parched grain. That was a very common meal during that harvest time. And they enjoyed that. And so he shared that with her. And so he was very hospitable to her. He sought to make her comfortable and to treat her like he wanted to be treated. You know, that is one of the biggest things with our character. If we will always try to treat others like we want to be treated, what a huge difference that would make. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's our spouse, or whether it's our brother or sister, or whether it's our neighbor, or whether it's a friend. If we always treated them like we wanted to be treated, we would always respond in a good way, and we'd have a good relationship with them, and that is a good character quality to remember. You know, that verse in the Bible, we paraphrase it, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Anybody remember where that's found? Matthew 7:12. And so that paraphrase is there, that we need to treat others like we want to be treated. Then he was also generous to Ruth in verses 15 and 16. These are some of the neatest verses in the whole book of Ruth. He commands his young man and says, let her glean among the sheaves. Now, what were the sheaves? Remember, the sheaves were the bundles of grain, and this first field was the barley. And so they would grab on a handful with their hand, cut it off with a knife and put it in their arm, and then grab another handful, cut it off, and build a sheave in their arm. Once they had a bundle there, then they'd wrap it up and tie it and stand it in the fields for it to dry, and then it would come along later to collect all those. Now, these servants, or these beggars, if you want to call them that, were not supposed to glean among the sheaves. They could glean around the outside edges of the fields and things of that nature, and in the corners they were supposed to leave a little bit for the poor. They could glean in those areas, but not among the sheaves. Why? Well, it'd be so easy to just kind of slip over there and pull a few stalks out of the sheave and fill up my little bundle, and you know, it'd be easy to steal. But he trusted Ruth. Here's a foreigner, but yet he trusted her because of her testimony. And that says much for Ruth and her testimony, but also of Boaz being willing to trust her like that. And then, in verse 16, it says, and let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her. I underlined that in my Bible. Good thing to underline here, the handfuls of purpose. What was it talking about? He said to the reapers, when you grab a handful of the grain and you cut it off, just once in a while, just let go of it. Let it drop. And then grab another handful and cut it off and keep your work going. But just once in a while, just drop a handful here and there so that she'll get more than just a scrap once in a while that you accidentally miss. He wanted her to be able to get enough to be able to sustain her and meet her needs. And so he was being generous to Ruth. You know, this he trusted her. She was a trustworthy woman. He lets fall these things in the intentional food for her. You know, at this point in the story, there's no indication that Boaz treated Ruth in these special ways because he was secretly in love with her. He had just met her the first time he had seen her. He said, who is this woman? I mean, if he'd seen her before, he would have known who she was. So he had never seen, he'd heard about her. People had talked about her. Oh yeah, this young woman came with Naomi and she's been very kind. She's this and that. And she's been a blessing to Naomi. And now he finds her in his field. And, you know, to say that, well, he was suddenly in love with her, and so he's doing all these things to try to be loving to her. I don't think so. I think he was just, that's his character. He was a man of good character. And, you know, eventually, as the story goes on, he does fall in love with her, and they marry, and they live happily ever after, if you want to look at it from that perspective. But I don't think that's what it was at this point. It was genuinely his character to be a blessing to others, especially when he knew what she had done to Naomi. He knew that Ruth had been a blessing to Naomi, and he wanted to be a blessing to Ruth. And, you know, some of the reasons that I don't think that it was likely that he was in love with her is, first of all, she was a Moabite. She was a Moabite. And he was a Jew. Those two just don't, you know, they don't mesh together too well. I especially not thinking about marrying her. If he wanted to marry, there's probably lots of Jewish women he could have married. And then also, she was a poor widow, and he was a prosperous farmer. You know, why would a farmer that's prosperous be interested in some poor widow? Not a likely option. Could be, but it wasn't a likely one. Another reason is because she was young, and later on we're going to find about this. He was old. Now, how old, we don't know. How young she was, well, you can kind of guess on that. I mean, if she married as, you know, sometimes they married in their late teens or early 20s, the young women did. You know, how long she was married to her husband before he died, we don't know, but it all happened within a 10-year span, we know that. So she probably was in her early 20s. And so she's a young woman. And Boaz was an old man. And doesn't sound like a likely matchup either. But God had things planned there for them. But at this point, he was just showing his character qualities. So we see lots of good character qualities in this man, Boaz. Now let's take a look at some of the character qualities in Ruth. You know, she had inner strength. She was, you know, we already noted in the first chapter of how she was very loyal and committed to Naomi. She left family, she left friends, she left home, she left her gods behind. She left everything to be loyal and committed to God and to Naomi. And so she was a very loyal person. We also learned that her desire was to place her trust in Jehovah God. She was a woman of godly character now. And then we see here in chapter 2 that she was humble. Down in verse number 10. Verse 10 it says, "And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said, 'Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?'" Right? So she's humble before him. She falls on her face to the ground. You know, here they're out in the field and Boaz comes up to see how she's doing and he converses with her and she just bows down her face to the ground there in the stubble of the barley field and bows before him in a humble way, showing her humility. And she willingly honors him. And she felt undeserving of his recognition. You know, humility is not an easy thing to cultivate. You know, our pride gets in the way a lot of times. And it takes work to step on our pride and strive to be humble in our actions. But Ruth here has the quality, character quality of humility. Also, her good testimony had spread quickly throughout Bethlehem. And, you know, what a great thing. What a great quality to have a testimony that spreads all over the land so quickly. And everybody's talking about, oh, Ruth is that new Moabitish woman that left everything. She's joining us. She's adopted our God, and she's such a blessing to Naomi. Naomi, what a wonderful woman she was. So her testimony had spread wide. She was a woman with a good, godly testimony and a very good character quality there. And she was polite. Verse number 13, she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me." All right, so she's speaking to Boaz here, and she's very polite to him. She speaks to him in an appropriate manner, and very polite and kind to him. She submits. She admitted that she was not like the Jewish maidens. In the last of verse 13, she said, "Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids." All right, so she was different than them. So we know that her cultural things, she hadn't fully adopted all the cultural changes yet. She probably had some clothing maybe that wasn't exactly like theirs. She had a language issue. And, you know, you come from a foreign country into another land, you know, for a long time. And I mean, I've been here for 27, almost 28 years, and I still sound like an American. What can I do about it? All right. So you don't lose that. It sticks with you. And Naomi and Ruth had that as well that was stuck in her vocabulary. So there's a lot of different things like that. But she was very polite. You know, politeness is a character quality that should not be lacking in our lives. You know, we can all learn to be polite. You children can learn to be polite. Polite at the table, polite with your brothers and sisters, certainly polite with mom and dad and other people. Politeness is one of the things that all of us can work on and we can all develop. And it's a good thing for us to develop in our lives, to be polite to others. But then we see also that she was a willing worker. Right there in verse number 2, it says, "And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi." All right, so it wasn't Naomi that said to Ruth. Naomi didn't say, "All right, my daughter, listen, I know that you're a bit lazy and scared and comfortable, and so, but you need to get out there and get to work." No, it was Ruth that came to her mom-in-law and says, "Listen, I am strong, I'm capable. Let me go out and work in the fields. Let me go glean in the fields so we can have something to eat. I'm happy to go pick up that work." She was a willing worker. You know, gleaning in the field, remember, for you children that may not understand the word glean, the word glean literally means to pick up the scraps that were dropped. And they would go out in the fields and anything that the workers dropped, every little head of grain, they would pick that up and they put it in their little basket and they'd look around and pick it up. And as a boy, one of the things I always enjoyed doing, and I'm not sure why I didn't get paid for it, it was just a fun thing to do, but after the farmers, whether it be my dad or someone else that was doing this, would combine the fields, or particularly after they would pick the corn. You know, a lot of times when they go around corners and stuff, they didn't quite get all of the ears of corn. And we would go along with a bucket and we'd find all these ears of corn that were dropped or maybe run over or maybe it fell off the stalk and it didn't get caught by the combine. And so there's these ears of corn there, and we could gather them up and go take them, feed them to our chickens, things of that nature. But that's gleaning. It's gleaning. That's what the poor people did in Bible days, not to feed to their pigs or their chickens, but to feed themselves. And so they were looking for the grain to be able to find those little bits of grain that were dropped by the workers. And she volunteered to do that. Not an easy thing. You know, in their day, they didn't have Centrelink and welfare type things for the orphans and the widows and the poor people. They had to work. They had to work for their money. And, you know, that was a good way to do it. God had told them, remember God told all the people, when you have a garden, you have a field, you're not to cut the corners. You know, if you have square corners, you do not cut the corners. The corners are for the poor people. And if you drop anything, you cannot bend over and pick it back up. If you dropped it, leave it there. That's for the poor people. And you know, that was a good system to be able to help the poor people and to be a blessing to them, whether it be in their fields or their vineyards or their orchards or whatever it was, they were to do that. Now, it was a rather humiliating thing to go out and glean in the field. You know, going out there picking up the scraps. Who wants to do that? That's the poor people's job. But Ruth was willing to do that. Ruth was willing to go out there and glean among them in a very honest way as a pauper to survive and provide for herself. And once again, here we see the virtue of her humility and being willing to do that. She was also very respectful. We see in verse number 7 that she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. All right, so she asked the worker. She went to the field. Boaz wasn't there then. She, first thing in the morning, she goes to the field. She sees the workers in charge, and she says, may I please glean in your fields after your workers? So she was respectful. She followed the right pattern of respect in order there to be able to earn her way to be able to do that. And she also was dependent on grace or favor. She, in verse number 2, says there, in whose sight I shall find grace. We find it also in verse 10. Why have I found grace in thine eyes? Right, this idea of finding grace having grace is someone give me something that I don't necessarily deserve. And I'm going to go ask if they will allow that. And so she was dependent on others. She was not presuming upon these farmers. She didn't go in there and say, hey, listen, I know I'm poor and you know your law. You're supposed to let me do this. You know, she didn't do that. She just said to me, please. I'm poor and I would like to be able to glean. Could I please do that? You know, she did not push herself on others and she did not demand her rights from others. And that's a good testimony to us as well. Not to push ourselves on others, but not to demand our rights, but to be respectful and dependent in the right way. She was also submissive to Naomi. We saw that in verse 2 where she asked and Naomi says, sure, go. That's a great idea. And she was submissive to her mother-in-law even though her mother-in-law was much older than her, she humbled herself before her and respected her and sought her permission. And she obeyed her wishes. You know, submission and obedience, that's something for all of us. You kids, submission and obedience. To submit yourself and to obey those over you. Very, very important character qualities. If you can learn the quality of obedience and submission, you will go a long way in this world if you'll do that. It's a very, very important thing for us to learn. Then also, she worked until the evening without quitting. Look at verse 17. And she gleaned in the field until even. And beat out that which she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Right? So she worked all day long in the field, picking up all the scraps, as much as she could get. She had it in her basket. Then she took her basket to the place where they could lay it out on something flat and they would beat it with sticks and get the grain out of it. It took extra work as well, but she beat it out and she gathered it all together and looked at it and it was about an ephah. Alright? So a nice little bundle of grain, you know, for all day's work, just, you know, a couple of liters, I think it is, of grain. Not much, but it was a good day's work for her picking up all the scraps. And that was a blessing to her. So she had was not a quitter. She continued on. And she continued to work. Verse 23, that she says there that she continued until the end of harvest. All right, so she continued all through barley harvest and all through wheat harvest. And continued to do this. So she was a hard worker that didn't quit. You know, quitters lack character. Quitters lack character. And that's very important for us to understand. We must not be quitters. We must not be quitters. And if you often quit when you're playing a game or where you're doing a task or you're doing a project or a ministry or a job, and you quit for no good reason. Now, sometimes I realize, you know, maybe you're sick or maybe, you know, for some major reason you can't do this. But I'm talking about just, I'm tired of it. I don't want to do it anymore. And you quit. That's not a good quality. All right, so you kids, that's one of the things you can really work on while you're young, is not to be quitters. You start a game, you play it until the game's done. Don't be quitters. And it'll help you all through life. Ruth was not a quitter. What if she would have got out in the field and said, you know, this isn't any fun at all. You know, out here picking up the grains. I've been out here all day long. Look at this little tiny bundle I got. You know, and you think about it. If she even got a couple of liters of grain, that's not very much for all day long work. And yet she was glad for it. She could have been a quitter and said, I give up. This isn't worth it. I'm not going to do this. But she didn't quit. She kept on. And she pushed on even though it was tough. Now, Ruth was also very generous. She shared what she got with her mother-in-law. We see in verse number 18, and she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave it to her that she had received after she was sufficed. All right, so Ruth ate and had a good meal of it, and then she brought it to her mother-in-law and says, here, this is for us. We're going to share this. And she shared it with her mother-in-law. Very generous and kind thing to do, and the right thing to do. So she had the quality of sharing, the quality of giving, and just being a blessing to others. Now, speaking of his own reputation, D.L. Moody once said, if I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. That's a good statement. If I take care of my character, my reputation will take care of itself. And if you think about that, you develop your character and your reputation will take care of itself. That is very, very wise advice for us. Now, we've briefly examined the character qualities of Ruth and Boaz. And they were not perfect people, but they were people with quality character. And if God has examined your character this evening, what would he find? Would he be able to compliment your character, or would he find that there's a lack? And it's a challenging thought for us. And if you note some qualities, and we've only touched on a few, there's loads of character qualities. But you know, when you look at your own life in an honest way, and you see that there's some qualities lacking, the right thing to do is to work at it and say, God, I need your help. I need to develop more of that particular kind of character quality. And, you know, it may be that there's some that we need to continue to maintain. There may be other qualities that we need to improve, and yet others that we need to develop that we don't have much of at all. But we need to work at that. And with God's help, we can be the men, the women, and children with godly character, with quality character. We can be if we work at it with God's help. And so let's strive to do that. All right? Let's strive to do that.